Hi, my name is Randy, and I will be your host for this episode of Infotainment. I would like to welcome you, and especially you to the program. Welcome to the Last Stop Podcast Shop, one of the lesser known podcasts around. But if you found it, lucky you. Well, I will save the worst news till last. It's Monday, October 2nd, about the Las Vegas shooting. And first off, let's do some podcast information. You can also listen to this show. It'll be a free show. It will also show up on my Patreon website, patreon.com/infotainmentpodcasts, and that's it. Some of those shows are free, and some of those are for patrons only who make a pledge. So if you make a pledge, more podcasts will become available to you. But I have to do some free ones to give you an idea of what this show is all about. For my new listeners, this is probably old hat for my repeat listeners. I do believe I have a few from here and abroad. And I'm glad you decided to listen to this program today. And well, let's get the ball rolling. Sometimes you don't feel like being funny, especially after reading the Las Vegas news on several different websites, but here it goes. First up, we have a postal worker who carries a lot more than mail. Attica, Indiana, U.S. Postal Service, a letter carrier, Gabriel Anno, found his workday interrupted Wednesday when police arrested him. Fountain County prosecutors accused 25-year-old Anno of dealing marijuana, dealing in controlled substances, possession of cocaine, possession of a machine gun, possession of marijuana, and controlled substances. Additionally, he's charged with maintaining a common nuisance and official misconduct, according to a news release from the prosecutor office. An Attica police investigation led to Anno's arrest. They were assisted by Indiana State Police, U.S. Postal Service agents, and the Fountain County Prosecutor's Office, according to a news release from the prosecutor's office. Through a series of search warrants, police collected evidence that includes 1.2 pounds of marijuana, 5 grams of cocaine, 14 ounces of codeine, 392 Xanax pills, a semi-automatic pistol, a machine pistol, and $2,000 in cash, according to a news release from the prosecutor's office. Anno posted $5,000 bond and was released from the Fountain County Jail, according to a news release from the prosecutor's office again. Doesn't postal workers make a fairly good salary without dealing drugs? It just on the show Longmire, I know a guy deals weed when he delivers pizza, but he's kind of a snitch for the program. Looks like somebody narked on him or something. That's a lot of Xanax pills. I've heard of people using them when they fly on airplanes, but I don't know what effect they have elsewhere. And 14 ounces of codeine, I didn't know that was maybe a good high maybe something used in making a meth. I don't know. But I thought meth was kind of on the way out. I thought heroin was the drug of choice these days. But I guess people like their prescription pills too nowadays. I guess some people are more happy than others to get their mail. Not only do you get your mail, but you get a bunch of Xanax pills too. I don't know why you didn't have 400 Xanax pills to make it rounded up, but 392. Funny you didn't have any Vicodin or something, OxyContin or oxycodone or all those other pain relievers. Maybe is going to claim medicinal usage for all his different wares that he peddled around. Yeah, I don't understand that, because I think a postal worker gets a nice salary and then a good pension, and then why risk it with all this other stuff? But maybe he needed a lot more cash, I guess. So we will move on from that story on to something completely different. This next story is extremely, extremely odd. According to the FBI, they have seized over 3,000 penises during raid at morgue employee's home. FBI agents made an astonishing discovery this morning while executing a search warrant at the residence of a Houston mortician. 3,178 embalmed human penises. The Federal Bureau of Investigation suspected 54-year-old Dave Murray, an employee of the Harris County Morgue, of being implicated in an organ trafficking network. Investigating several reports of missing organ and body parts, dozens of agents raided his residence this morning, hoping to find evidence of his involvement in the crimes. What they found on the site was a lot more disturbing than what they expected, as the FBI spokesman Andy Ramirez described the scene in an interview with WNTV4, Getting Her Done. There were shelves everywhere filled with hundreds of glass jars, each of them containing a penis floating in formalin. According to Agent Ramirez, the accused rapidly confessed everything as soon as he was arrested. He explained in great detail how he had been cutting off dead men's genital organs and collecting them for more than 10 years. It took the FBI more than 7 hours to gather all the organs and other pieces of evidence. That were a dozen federal agents of the FBI's response team were still identifying, collecting, and packing jars more than 6 hours after their arrival on site. A total of 53 charges have already been filed against Mr. Murray, and hundreds more could be filed in the next few days. An anonymous FBI source told WNTV4 that the number of charges could reach over 3,000. Dave Murray will remain in custody for a moment as a psychiatric evaluation has been ordered to determine if he is fit to stand a trial. If he is considered fit, he should appear in court in October for the beginning of the procedures. That's a lot of dick. I mean, if he was selling them for some, like, Chinese operation that made some herbal medicine for stamina or something in men, maybe I could see doing that. Or if he collected a famous penis, like the old saying about Milton Berle. But I heard once that Milton Berle did a radio interview where some guy was ribbing him about he wanted to have a length contest with Milton. And Milton got tired of it, so he said, "Well, you show first, and I will show just enough to win." But over three, the guy's mugshot, he's got the most interesting hairdo. It looks like most of his hair is on one side of his head, and I think he's got the, I don't know if there's a business part of it, but he's got the party in the back, kind of the mullet deal going. And one eye's kind of wandering off to the edge there. But what would, I would get the creeps. Maybe he had them lit up around his home for a Halloween display. I don't know. But that's that story. People, Bill Shatner came on, and this line can apply to this, but he was on my Twitter this morning and asking, you know, about the Las Vegas mass shooting. And he goes, "What's wrong with people?" And this guy definitely qualifies. What's wrong with this guy? Well, that's the end of that story, and let's move on to something completely different. Well, I do have one follow-up comment about the mortician with the very odd collection of penises. I was wondering if he ever invited the American Picker TV show to his home to possibly purchase. Well, I'll give you $25 for that bottle. And then, no, that's going to cost you $50 because it's a little bit thicker, a little bit longer than the other one. You got to just laugh sometimes, or else you'd probably just, I don't know, with this Las Vegas shooting, you want to be funny and you try to do a comedy thing, but it's like Jimmy Kimmel said. He was really busted up about it. And even though I don't follow her show much anymore, but Chelsea Handler had some interesting comments about how Australia changed their laws like the next day after a mass shooting there. And since that time, they have had zero mass shootings. So, since people can't be responsible, maybe it's time to just sell guns, except people who've demonstrated responsible usage, like hunting, only hunting. I don't know. Every outdoor event have where large numbers of crowds gather, have a few American snipers. Like that Chris Kyle would have been useful at the Las Vegas to track that guy down. But unfortunately, he was killed by somebody who was trying to help, too. I guess they're going to try and get rid of these bump stocks. I got to read more about those, about what they actually do. But it causes that you can do more rapid firing, I believe. I don't know. There's just too many guns and too few responsible people with them, I guess. I've been labeled bipolar, and I have no problem with not being able. I think I could purchase a weapon at this time, but I'm not sure in our state. But I'm perfectly fine with not being able to because of my bipolar condition. Jimmy Kimmel said that Donald Trump had okayed a bill that would make it easier for mentally ill people to obtain weapons, guns. This is not good. I guess the Las Vegas shooter had some anti-anxiety medication in his past, and
I heard an interview with his brother, and his brother just seemed to be focused on how people were writing him off because of his gambling. Oh, he had gambling debts. And, you know, his brother said he did very well at gambling, mathematically. He was an accountant, so maybe he did. And he had comp cards and all the niceties that the casinos give to the big spenders. So, but we shall move on. I will also say, I will have this program posted everywhere for free. I do have my first patron on my Patreon webpage, but he could not get my program to play all the way through. It kept stopping, and I have a email into Patreon to find out to clear up that problem, because I want people who he uses a Wi-Fi connection, and he had no problem with my Podomatic site listening to my program there. Also like to apologize to CJ for kind of talking about the Renaissance Festival a little more than I probably should have before his commentary while he was there. And maybe I should have let him explain it. But that was our first kind of trial run. It's something like that. Hopefully we'll get it down to where it's workable, because I like his input into these shows as well. Also, on a happier note, I am now talking to you from a new microphone, the Blue Yeti Pro, which is also, it is a USB mic, or you can, it has an XLR connection to it. I just bought the microphone because I thought about the shock mount, but I rarely touch my mic stand. I rarely bang on the keyboard while I'm recording, or rarely touch my mouse. bother the desk that my computer's on. This place is fairly quiet. Usually when I want to start recording, there is a darn train that wants to blow its horn, or somebody makes a bunch of racket outside. It usually never fails. When I start recording, a bunch of mowers, people wanting to mow their yards. But I think later in the evenings, things start to quiet down, so I could start recording. Well, let's see, what story do we want to go on to next? Well, we got, this is a little, I didn't jump on this right away, but it's about Hulk Hogan and the Hurricane Irma, and he kind of said, stuck his foot in his mouth about, he said, victims without water or electricity were crybabies. Former wrestling champ Hulk Hogan fired off a pair of heartless tweets about victims of Hurricane Irma Thursday after he braved the storm from his Clearwater, Florida residence. He referred to those who lost their power and water supplies as crybabies, who could have had it much worse. No water, no power, crybabies, everyone's complaining, he wrote. Hulk, Terry, your first name. You know, 8 people in a nursing home passed away because they didn't have electricity. Excuse me while I put on my glasses here. And my throat's starting to seize up, which is always good when you're recording a podcast. Yeah, his real name is, I knew his first name was Terry Jean Bollea, sent the tweets after 8 elderly people died in a South Florida nursing home that had lost its power and air conditioning during Irma. The tweets to have done further damage to the wrestlers already tarnished reputation. Hogan's Peter Thielbach lawsuit against Gawker Media over a leaked sex tape forced Gawker.com to shut down. The incendiary tweet sparked outrage on social media, with a string of critics replying to his post, 60,000 homes without power here, haven't seen a crybaby yet, just people helping their neighbors, and what are you doing to help? One user replied to the original post, newsflash, you need water to live, another comment read. His supporters' messages were less caustic. I think I know what you meant, but poor choice of words, brother, one said. Despite the backlash, his comments resonated with at least one fan who seemed to interpret the tweets positively. Thank you for saying that, Hulk. I would rather go a week without power than bury a loved one. It's not clear how much damage the hurricane did to Hogan's home. Earlier in the week, he tweeted that there was a lot of damage, but that everyone is safe. Maybe he's still trying to pull it. Maybe he apologized for that. I haven't seen that yet, but that's one of the comments from these awful disasters that keep happening with extreme frequency these days. Now we'll move on to something completely different. Now on to something a little bit lighter. This is about Star Trek. Now, I have been a fan of Star Trek since the beginning. This includes the original series. And I think I actually watched some of those. I'm kind of dating myself. Watched some of those in their first release. But over the years, I found that I enjoyed Star Trek Voyager probably the most. I did enjoy the show Relics on the Next Generation because they had Scotty on there in a freak transporter deal. But this is from the official Star Trek Discovery unofficial fan page. And they do not really want negative comments. But this show will take the negative with the good as well. And here are some reasons why people are not flocking to it. Maybe a lot of them did during the last minutes before getting that first episode. I think that was shown on regular TV, which I actually forgot about. I would have watched that. But and one of the reasons was you're angry because CBS is making you pay for content. Now, that's probably a big reason. I pay for Netflix, and now I have Amazon Prime because I got my microphone shipped a little faster than normal. And another reason, you're angry because CBS shut down a fan production trying to profit off their IP. I hadn't heard that. You're angry because you can't get CBS AA to work. You're angry because you don't want politics mixed into your Star Trek. That's probably going to be the death knell of it. If it goes to a second season, which will probably, you will have to wait for until 2019 anyway. You're angry because of seeming discrepancies in canon, the timeline. You're angry over the opening credits. You're angry over the uniforms. You're angry because Spock never had a sister. Yeah, that is a difficult one to get over.
You're angry because of diversity. Isn't Star Trek kind of proven that diversity is a big part of their shows? You're angry because everyone is wearing a Delta shield. You're angry that a football game delayed the start time. I did not know that. You're angry that the Klingons look different again. I watched a YouTube review of the show, and he showed how their prosthetics made them barely able to speak. The only two words I really know from the Klingon language are Stovokor and Patak. But he played a segment of them speaking, and it was pretty hard to, I think the guy had difficulty talking through all the prosthetics they had and the new look Klingons. You're angry because no matter what anyone tells you, no matter what they're trying to say, this is the JJ version and not the prime timeline. J.J. Abrams. You're angry because you believe some bizarre conspiracy theory who owns the right to Star Trek, and that's why it has to look different. You're angry and you'll watch your VHS tape of every episode of Star Trek. You're angry and we'll just show them by waiting until it's available on DVD. Well, I will say that I will probably wait till it shows up on Netflix. If it does, I've heard that it will eventually. See what else you're angry about? The new Star Trek Discovery. You're angry because you know that since you don't plan to watch this show and no one is, and it's going to die the horrible death it deserves. We get it. We really, really get it. Now, please feel free to post thoughts anywhere but on this page. This page is for fans of the show. We can reasonably discuss what we like, what we might have done differently, what we're looking forward to, and so on. It's a fan page for people who are planning to watch the show. If you're not planning on watching the show, why would you want to contribute to this page? That's all I had printed out. I guess I missed some of that. Yeah, I'm going to wait for it to see how it shakes out. I'm on YouTube especially. I'm hearing a lot of negative things. And one guy really went into depth about all the negative aspects of this program. Maybe it's getting better. I don't know. I guess some people like the increased CGI effects. I personally like... Oh, I like the effects, too. Don't get me wrong. But I like the character interplay between Spock, Bones, and Kirk. I like the interplay between Captain Janeway and Seven of Nine. And I'm one of the few... But I also liked Enterprise, and I thought that show deserved a few more seasons, possibly seven like the rest, and had an ending which really was bad due to Riker showing up using it as just a holodeck program, which kind of negates all the other episodes. Well, was this all just a holodeck fantasy, or was it real? I guess that's the way events unfolded, but I thought that was a bad way to end it. But overall, I thought Rick Berman and Brannon Braga did a good job with the keys to the Star Trek franchise for a while, and I wish they had control over the Star Trek Discovery show. I think Enterprise got short shrifted because of the kind of the crap with UPN had a downfall there, which the politics of Star Trek is
Just amazing. I guess CBS has some rights and Paramount has some rights, and they can't make changes to the uniform without permission, and it's just going to get mucked up by the pencil pushers anyway. They don't care about the fans. It's just about the money. So that's why I think it's probably, if we're lucky, it'll get us a second season. Maybe it'll improve. And maybe I will eventually sign up, but I doubt it, to receive it streaming through CBS All Access. But more than likely, I will wait until it shows up on Netflix, because I can see, I can enjoy going back through some old Voyager episodes and movies and Enterprise episodes, which has all the seasons there. So, well, God bless the people who like Discovery. But that was some of the reasons people, me included, some of the reasons why people are having a unfavorable problem with the Star Trek Discovery program. So I don't want to give out my email address because part of it is my name. I got to change that. I would ask for anybody else's criticism, or whether you, or if you really enjoy the new program. It looks like it has some cool effects from what I've seen. But that alone does not a Star Trek make. So, and now I think we will move on. And it looks like we're getting up to the about 33 mark on the program. I do have another story, which we have the passing of Hugh Hefner. So my theory that he would live to be 150 years old is now shot out the window. I guess he had some form of E. coli. Sad news. But Jimmy Kimmel took took this time to pay tribute to former founder Hugh Hefner on his show Thursday. Aroused some viewers, and not in a good way. Commenters on YouTube called it disrespectful and not cool. Kimmel made a lighthearted joke about Hefner, who died at age 91, as perhaps being the only person to be disappointed by heaven. He goes, "What's with all the harps? Let's get some naked girls in here." Yeah, it might be a little soon for that. He jabbed at Hefner's final resting place beside Marilyn Monroe in a Los Angeles cemetery instead of under her. And while lauding Hefner's advocacy of human rights, he zinged, but mostly he'll be remembered for the boobs. Jimmy Kimmel. I haven't followed that show. Maybe I should. I kind of lost track of him because I really liked The Man Show, but that was done eons ago. Kimmel ratcheted up the irreverence when he cut to a newscast of a reporter at Hefner's star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame, a Vatican-like smokestacks a ceremony to announce Hefner's successor followed, revealing a controversial choice. Some YouTubers were not amused. Poor taste. I did notice the picture that the star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame had a hot dog and a bun there and a banana laying on it. Have some respect for a man who changed the game. People also kind of commented, too soon, disrespectful, not cool, Kimmel, said a third. So that was that story. Maybe a little too soon on the Hefner type jokes. Well, the reasons I thought he would live to be 150 was well, all the women. And he had a staff there to take care of their whims, which he didn't have to deal with. During his, being 90-some, 91, probably frequent naps during the day. So he would deal with them when he wanted to. I guess he had some bizarre sexual requirements of the women. I guess he paid them each $1,000 a month or something to stay there. While they were in his room, there were like 12 women in his room, and you had to wear the same pink pajamas. And if you had your pajama bottoms on, that means you weren't going to have sex with him. Who reported this? I can't. Oh, yeah, I was listening to another podcast they were talking about, and that he had gay porn playing on TV screens all around the room. Maybe he thought that did something for the women, or maybe he was into it. Who knows? I guess each woman would jump on top of Hef for a couple minutes, and then he would switch. And while they were waiting, I guess they did some kind of fake lesbian stuff to keep him aroused, along with a blue pill, I'm sure. Maybe he should have laid off some of those. It might have contributed to his demise. But I guess they already know the Playboy Mansion had been sold, with the stipulation that he wouldn't get control of the mansion until Hefner died. One of the people who saved the Twinkie from obscurity and other food items. So we'll see what happens there. I guess now it's probably be renovated, and there'll be more parties ensuing there, probably more frequent than Hef did in his later days. But we shall see how that shakes out. I had heard that the Playboy was going to take, not do any more pictures and just have articles. So I don't know if that actually happened, or they're still running pictures. So long to Hef. And he had an amazing life, that's for sure. Well, what other story should we move on to? Oh, I did have another kind of, you hear some paper rustling. I print out stuff now about Pizza Hut and the Hurricane Irma. Pizza Hut is taking some heat on Twitter for instructions that put minimum wage workers at risk. As many people have pointed out, Pizza Hut responded with a statement posted on its website. It read in part, "We absolutely do not have a policy that dictates when team members can leave or return from a disaster." And the manager who posted this letter did not follow company guidelines. We can also confirm that the local franchise operator has addressed the situation with the manager involved. Restaurant and fast food workers are often forced to make wrenching decisions in natural disasters. Some can't afford to evacuate in the first place without any job protection. Fleeing workers could be terminated. Some choose to stay and risk their safety in flood zones, to ensure they won't lose their jobs. And even if they stay, flooding could ruin their cars and giving them no way to get to work, leaving them just as vulnerable to firing as they would be if they had evacuated. But with the additional financial burden of repairing their car, many cities in Florida do not have a robust transit system. But after a storm passes. But after a storm passes, large restaurant chains may be the first to pitch in, donating food and supplies two waterlogged communities in Houston. In Houston, McDonald's donated thousands of water bottles and gave out free meals to first responders. Local chain Whataburger pledged $1 million to help its employees who were affected by Harvey, along with $150,000 to the Red Cross and $500,000 to local food banks. And Houston area Pizza Hut, too, participated in the relief efforts, handing out free pies to Harvey victims. Shada Habib, a pregnant Pizza Hut manager, kayaked to deliver free pies to people who were stuck in flooded homes. But this Irma memo might have erased much of the goodwill the company earned in Houston. A manager of one Pizza Hut in the path of Hurricane Irma threatened to discipline workers who evacuated for the storm outside of a designated time frame. And the brand has come under fire on social media for the shameful policy. A photo began circulating on Twitter of a memo for employees in one Jacksonville, Florida Pizza Hut location with an explicit list of instructions for employees. To all team members, the memo begins before laying out a policy that dictates that employees cannot evacuate more than 24 hours before the storm and must return within 72 hours. Failure to show for their shifts, regardless of reason, will be considered a no-call, no-show, and documentation will be issued. It reads, after the storm, we need all TMs available to get the store up and running and serve our communities as needed. Evacuating is in the last 24 hours before a storm can be a risky move. Supplies and gas may have dwindled by then, and traffic can be a nightmare. If you do it later, you may be caught in a flood of traffic trying to leave the area. Miami Mayor Carlos A. Jimenez said Wednesday night, you may find yourself in a car during a hurricane, which is not the best place to be. Well, I would agree with that. And it started out with a Pizza Hut told Irma fleeing employees they could be punished for skipping shifts. Well, that doesn't make Pizza Hut look very, very good. And I guess that manager has been dealt with. So, as we've come up on almost the 50-minute mark, I would like to thank everyone who's listened to this show by play or download, by iPhone, iPad, iPod, Android phone, MP3 player, however you listen for. Thank you. Soon, hopefully, I will get this Patreon technical glitch when playing repaired. But I think it'll play for, I think maybe it might just be something with Patreon's connection with a Wi-Fi listener. Hopefully that can be corrected soon, because I have DSL, and after he told me this about the podcast stopping at several points, I played it on the website and on my phone, and it played straight through. So I don't know what the deal is with that. So people with Wi-Fi connections may have a little more difficulty with it and may want to go to my infotainmentpodcast.com website to listen to several future programs. But by the looks of the clock on the wall, I will put this podcast to bed and post it to the interwebs. Hopefully you have a good day, good week, and a happy ending tonight. And we'll talk to you on the next episode of Infotainment. Bye-bye, folks.
Something smooth. Something